is the operations supervisor for the Social Security office. I'm trying to think, Jessica, have you ever been on the show?
I think I have, but it's been a few years ago.
See, that's what I was going to do. Traditionally, we have that new person come on and sing the school fight song. But because you've been on here before, we won't require that of you.
Oh, thank goodness.
So I always ask Jack the same question. Is it a busy time for your office?
It's always a busy time. Yeah. There's always an ebb and flow. So sometimes we'll get a little bit of a lull for maybe 2 or 3 days of the month, and then it's right back up. So it's always busy.
I guess one of the things we maybe want to hit on here early on, and that is, are there any changes coming up to benefits, anything that people should be aware of or maybe has happened in the last couple of months?
Not necessarily. We've not had any changes. This is the time of year, though, for those individuals that may have worked last year. They may get a letter telling them, hey, you know, you've worked last year and we're going to increase your benefit amount and give you credit for that work that you did. Those are usually for the retirees, of course, and so that's always a nice little extra boost that they might see. But other than that, there's nothing really new taking place.
Now, I've just turned 62 myself, so that's a magic time for somebody who is looking forward to retirement, isn't it?
It is. It is very much so.
So what?
You can always tell when people are starting to plan, because they will first usually do that initial phone call and ask, you know, what do I need to do? And then you'll get the, what are my benefits going to be? So it is kind of nice to know that people are always planning. There are some people that don't, but it's nice to see that many, many of our beneficiaries do plan.
So let's walk somebody through who just turned 62, maybe listening to this for the first time. Mm-hmm. And 62 is the key, because that's when you can officially begin receiving Social Security benefits if you choose to retire. But if you retire at that age, 62, your benefits aren't going to be as much as they would be later, correct?
Correct. You would be taking a reduced benefit. For that individual. However, if they waited until their full retirement age, for right now most of those are between 66 and 67 right now, then it's the full benefit that they see on those statements that they get in the mail right around the age of 62. Again, we started mailing those out again. So.
And what we have done personally as a family, we've sat down with, well, it turns out it's my brother Brad, but somebody who's qualified in that area, and just kind of ran through a few scenarios. If you do it now, if you do it then, that's when you really begin getting a clear picture, don't you?
Absolutely. And for people that haven't done that yet and they're wanting to do that, if they go online to our website and create a My Social Security account, they can play with those numbers. It actually pulls from their record and allows them to plug that information in on maybe what they're thinking. Like you said, maybe if I take it at 62, well, what if I decide to wait till 65? And it'll give them an estimate of what their benefit would be.
Well, I guess the other option is that maybe you might want to retire, but choose not to receive your social. I mean, just because you say, hey, I'm going to retire tomorrow, doesn't necessarily mean you automatically get your Social Security benefits. You might choose to delay those for a few years.
Exactly. And there are people that do that. They want to wait for that higher rate, or they want to wait even until just 65 when their Medicare might be started. And so at that point, you know, they don't need to do anything necessarily with us, but they will need to a couple months before the date they want that benefit to start.
Where is, so you, you receive your full benefits at, for me, I think it's 66 and a half, I believe.
Yeah.
At what point do you kind of top out? In other words, if I say, well, I'm going to wait till 70, because when I retire at 70, then I'll receive more benefits.
Correct. And 70 is the top out. You are exactly right with that. At 70, you will not increase your benefit anymore. So anywhere between your full retirement age, so for you it's 66 and 6 months, and so between then and 70, you're going to get an 8% increase a year on that benefit. But if you wait past 70, you're just letting it sit there, and that's really silly. You need to get that filed for and take that benefit.
And let's talk about filing for online then for Social Security benefits, because we could all stand in a line, grumble, 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 complain, 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 or we can go online and do it, correct?
Exactly. And in many cases, that's the thing to do. You can skip the line and just go online to our site and file, which is at the www.socialsecurity.gov. And at that point, if you are looking to file for retirement, as long as you're 61 and 9 months, it will allow you to complete that application for your benefits when you turn 62. So that is always the key, is why wait in line if you can file and do it online? These days, our offices are busy. We're looking at hour wait sometimes mm-hmm. an hour and a half. So if you can hop on the Internet in the comfort of your own home, why not?
And let's stay on that office visit for a second, too, because I would imagine that you would greatly appreciate people who come in as prepared as they can be, rather than hit you with a litany of questions that now takes your appointment maybe beyond the hour or so that you set aside for it.
Exactly, exactly. If they come prepared, if they come in with the information that's needed, which is, of course, we have to know marriage information. So we've got to know, are you married currently? What was your marriage date? If you've been divorced, divorce date. And as much information about the spouse as you can give us, name, date of birth, social security number, even better. And then direct deposit, that's the key. Some people are like, oh, I didn't bring my direct deposit information. We are required to do direct deposit. We don't want to send those paper checks out any longer and have the case of, you know, the delay in the mail or even getting lost in the mail. So bringing in their direct deposit information, as long as they've got that with them, that's pretty much all we need. And we can get their benefits going. We can discuss their options and go from there.
Can you play with the schedule a little bit and say, you know, instead of getting my benefits on the third day of the month, maybe I want them on the 18th of the month?
We will do that for people. We'll tell them when their benefits are going to come. How their benefits are paid is based on their date of birth. So if they're, say, the first week of the month, they're a birthday of the 1st through the 8th, those benefits are paid on the second Wednesday of the month and then so forth. So it's all based on what Wednesday bracket you would fall into.
Can you, and this is a strange question, again, mm-hmm. you're not ready to start yet. You're going to start in 6 months, perhaps, and you're working ahead. And you say, I'm going to go ahead and file. Let's say you file, and something comes up, and you need to change your mind. Can you do that?
You can do that. We hope you don't do that, mm-hmm. just because we don't ever want to see it become a hassle for you, but you can do that. So if you filed and we come to find out that, oh my gosh, I'm going to take a contract job and I'm going to work for 6 months and I'm going to make good money, you would need to notify us, and you would have two options at that point. Your first option would be put it into a work suspense, where we put in that estimate of what those earnings are going to be so that we don't pay you, and whenever the job ends, your benefits would start right back up. You don't have to apply again. Or some people do the option of they completely withdraw their application. However, if you withdraw your application, you do have to come back in or come back online and reapply for those benefits when you're ready for them to start.
Yeah, you can't keep it in a draft form, set it aside, and then kind of refer to that in the future.
Exactly.
And you talked a little bit about something that people, I think, still are confused about. If you let's say I want to retire at 62, how much can I make and still qualify for Social Security?
Sure. So a lot of people always get confused with that. They're like, wait a minute, I can work? Wait, I thought I couldn't work. And mm-hmm. then, you know, how much can I work and make? So as long as somebody is under the earnings limit, if they have not already worked for the year, they can make up to $17,000, which is awesome because for most people, that's a part-time job. It gets them out of the house, they get a little extra income, and they still get their benefits. Now, if you're one of those people that likes to retire in the middle of the summer, which happens a lot, we see that a lot of people retire in the summer, if they decide they want to go do a part-time job after that, they've got to stay under the monthly amount for the next 6 months of that year, and that's a $1,420 a month. So it just depends on their circumstances, but that's something that they can always get online and check. They can always call the office and ask, and that is an option. They can still work a little bit and get their benefit.
A couple of follow-up questions before we take a break on that thought, and that is, at what point then do we not have to worry about how much money we're making outside of our Social Security benefits?
Absolutely. Once you hit your full retirement age, you can do as you please, and we won't care. You don't have to notify us. You don't have to give us that work estimate. Basically, once you hit your full retirement age, you can earn whatever you want.
And it's $17,000 that first year. Does it change in your second year and in your third year, or does it stay at $17,000 until you hit full retirement?
Yeah, so how that works is it's based on what the what Congress sets as the earnings limit each year. It doesn't increase only just by a little bit for cost of living. So it's not going to be a drastic change from year to year. It stays right around the same.
All right. We're halfway through this morning's program. Jessica Goodman, our guest from Social Security. If you've got a question, don't hesitate. Give us a call. We'll take it off the air and ask Jessica back after these. Jessica Goodman, our guest this morning on What's on Your Mind, and we are talking about Social Security. Let's kind of change gears a little bit, Jessica, as we continue our conversation this morning. We always focus on retirement. Well, we don't maybe talk enough about disability or some other factors that weigh in with regards to Social Security benefits. Step us through, particularly with disabilities, and sometimes it happens early in a person's life, sometimes it happens late.
And it does, and that's the sad thing is there are so many people that think it's not going to happen to them. And millions of Americans are dealing with disabilities. I mean, that's just something that does occur, and if that happens to them, it's one of those things that they probably didn't think about and maybe didn't plan for. But for most of the people that have worked and paid into Social Security, if we find them disabled, they're eligible for disability benefits that will at least help supplement their income. Right now, they're looking at a statistic that says more than 25% of today's 20-year-olds will become disabled before reaching retirement age.
Hmm.
That's a very high statistic.
It is.
For those becoming potentially could become disabled.
What happens to someone if they become disabled after they start receiving their Social Security benefits, after their retirement?
Sadly, for those that have become disabled after they've been on a Social Security benefit due to the retirement, if that would happen, it would depend on their age if they could file for the disability benefit, which is a little bit higher benefit. So if somebody waited until their full retirement age, they're not going to be eligible to file for that disability benefit and see if they can get that little boost in their benefit. But if for somebody that filed at 62 and then suddenly something traumatic happened at, say, 63, they would potentially be able to file for that disability benefit and maybe see another $100, $200 more in their benefit check. And that, as we all know, it's always needed.
Is it always best to file online, or is there sometimes an appointment necessary?
Actually, for disability, the most convenient way to apply is online. Just because as someone's doing their application, it allows them to save their progress and then come back in and apply, finish the application later. And a lot of times that makes it easier just because if they're needing something from a doctor or they can't remember specifically the doctor's name, then they're able to get back in and post that back on there. Now, if they were filing for SSI, which is our needs-based program,
mm-hmm.
That one does require an actual appointment at some point. But they can start the process online, but then we would need to discuss with them the ins and outs and the furthers of it at a later date.
And for those seeking survivor's benefits?
Survivor's benefits, sadly, is the one program that we're not allowed to have that online for because it's something of filing on another person's record. So that one is something they would definitely need to contact us for, set up that appointment. That way we can get them taken care of. Usually for survivors, that's one of them that, it's the most financial devastating. And sometimes talking to someone is actually puts them at ease and makes them feel a lot better knowing what to expect and what's going to take place. I always suggest give us a call, get that appointment set up, we'll tell you what you need, and then hopefully that'll put them at ease until they have their appointment.
Got about 7 minutes left in this morning's program. Again, if you've got a question for Jessica this morning, Jessica Goodman from the Social Security Office in Springfield, call it in 243-4351. Beth will pass it along to us, and we'll ask the question. One of the things I always check with Jack or whoever's on from the Social Security Office, and that is, because I know there's changes, scams. Are there any new scams out there that we should be aware of? Because so many times they target the aged.
Sadly, the scams are running rampant right now, and I'm sure people have said out and about that, my gosh, they just don't stop calling. The new one is that they are making reference to suspending your Social Security number. That is not accurate. That is not something we do. We don't threaten that. That is not a normal verbiage for us. So as soon as you hear that on the phone, your best bet, honestly, is to just hang up. Don't give them any information, any leeway on yourself. Just hang up the phone. That's the best thing I can tell anyone, is never, ever, ever release information. Don't confirm it. Just hang up the phone.
I would bet that these phone calls are probably sometimes take the form of emails, too.
They do. There are times that you will see emails coming through that just seem suspicious, doesn't seem, I would say, coming from a really true actual site. Mm-hmm. A lot of times if you're getting an email that is stating they're from Social Security, you got to make sure that it's got that .gov at the end, the G-O-V for government. If you're getting something that's .com, .net, no, that is definitely not something that is from the Social Security Administration. And even from state agencies as well, they are also under a .gov or .Illinois. So be very careful, even when opening them. If it doesn't look right, deleting is the best thing you can do.
All right, down to the final 5 minutes. Jessica Goodman, our guest from the Social Security office in Springfield, back after this final timeout. Back on the air, our guest this morning, Jessica Goodman from the Social Security office in Springfield. We've been talking a lot about Social Security benefits, scams, and whatnot. This month, very important for those with disabilities in terms of an anniversary.
Yes, this month marks the 29th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's just, as we are saying, 29 years that this has been taking place. And that's one thing where the Social Security benefit can help. It is important to know that there's strict criteria and meeting the definition of the programs, but it's there to help, and so it's always worth asking about.
One of the questions that have come up off the air a couple of times when we've had discussions, and that is, your Social Security number. There are so many places now that will ask you for your last 4 digits. Most of the places that they're asking are legitimate. But how much information can someone get out of your last 4 digits? Can they extrapolate that and find out your entire number?
I'm going to say with that one, no. The reason I say that is because actually the beginning numbers are the most important, because for a long time, those were done by geographics. Hmm. So basically, if you lived in the state of New York, your number started with different first 3 numbers than, say, living in Illinois.
Hmm.
So the last 4, I mean, I can't even imagine how many millions of options it would take to figure out the rest of the 5 numbers of your number. So, I mean, yes, the last 4 is still important. You don't want to give everybody the last 4.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're asking to confirm your identity and it's a company you're already doing business with and they have your number, it's okay to confirm those last 4 with them.
Yeah, and I guess the bottom line in all of that, if you've got any question whatsoever, I know some people who don't give their Social Security number, no way, no how, no way, mm-hmm. even the last 4 digits. You know, you're not required by law. You can make other arrangements sometimes.
You can. And if you can get people to agree to that, that is the best thing you can do. Because keeping your number safe is going to be the key to keeping yourself out of that identity theft ring. It can happen to anyone. Really, it truly can happen to anyone.
All right, Jessica, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Take care of those kids, okay?
I sure will. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Jessica Goodman with the Social Security office in Springfield. Thanks for tuning us in for What's on Your Mind this morning. We'll talk Craft Beer Festival on Friday. CBS News next.